Did you take a cab to work today? Did you give the driver a tip or leave change for the barista where you get your morning coffee? If so, you're participating in a multi-billion dollar form of economic trade, tipping. It's estimated that tips amount for some $26 billion in the U.S. economy. Today on Please Explain, we're going to talk about the etiquette of tipping, why we tip, when to tip, whom to tip, and how much. And joining me are two extremely gracious and polite people. Lyudmila Block is a business etiquette expert in New York City and a private etiquette coach with over 20 years of corporate experience in America and abroad. And Diane Gotsman is a nationally recognized etiquette professional and the owner of the Protocol School of Texas, a company specializing in corporate etiquette training. And I'm very pleased to welcome you to our show.
Thank you.
What is tipping? Is there an agreed-upon definition of what a tip is? Do you know, Diane?
You know, a tip is a gratuity. It's voluntary, it's discretionary, and, you know, it's not an obligation. However, that said, a tip is still expected in particular services. So it's an amount for services rendered, in other words.
But yeah, as you say, it's at your own discretion. It's being generous at your own discretion.
You know, and at your own discretion, but I will tell you, you know, when you go to a restaurant, if your discretion is 5%, it's not your best judgment.
Well, the author of one article,
standards.
The author of one article I read pointed out that we usually don't pay more than we have to for an object, but service is different somehow.
You know, because there's emotion involved in service. There's another human being involved in the transaction, if you will.
Lyudmila, do you know where the word tip comes from?
Yes, absolutely. Good morning. The origin of the tip, excuse me, please. The origin of the tip comes, its abbreviation, to ensure promptitude. And it goes back to 16th century England, where if you were to open a coffee, enter the coffee shop or a pub, you would leave the coin before you get the service. And that abbreviation is T-I-P, tip, and that's where it goes for.
So if you didn't leave the coins, you might have waited for a very long time for service. We just heard about these people in, I think it was in Tennessee, who didn't pay their $75 fee to the fire department, and the fire department just sat there and watched the house burn down.
In extreme cases, yes, this is unfortunately the case. But mostly we do that because we need to express our gratitude. And you can tell somebody to do the job, but you cannot order them to be excellent. So the tip is a motivation and incentive to really perform an outstanding service.
Well, there are plenty of places where there is no tipping, where the tipping is already included in the service. Throughout Europe, for example, does that mean that the person who is performing the service has no incentive to do a good job?
No, but definitely the tipping is related to the quality of service. And yes, you're absolutely correct. If you go to France, for example, and you get the bill, you will see it says le service est compris, which means your fixed charge is already there in your bill. However, to really demonstrate your appreciation, to really show your appreciation and gratitude, it is always advisable to leave the extra few euros on the table or give it to the person who provided the service. It doesn't happen in all countries. For example, you go to Korea and there is no established tipping. You go to China, and the rule of the land is that there is no tipping. However, you can discreetly tip someone when they provided a special service. For example, they speak exceptional English, or they have a specialized knowledge, for example, in history or archaeology. In France, there is a group of certified guides that are paid actually more than others because they have a specialized knowledge in history and architecture.
So you slip it to them discreetly?
Well, I think it's always the way we do it. We have to, for example, if you're in China, it will be nice to put it in the envelope, or in Japan. It's just a nice way of doing things.
Do we know, Diane, where tipping began? I've heard that it began in Roman times, but there have been so many different accounts.
There are so many different accounts, Leonard. And, you know, they say that in the 17th century, the word tip meant to hand over or to give. And, you know, the lords and people would walk down the street and would toss coins to the peasants on the street to ensure their own personal safety. That's one theory. And then, you know, another one is they would put out these urns at coffee pubs and coffee houses. And again, we talked about this just a little while ago, it was to ensure that they would be treated nicely. And, you know, it has just through the ages evolved into what we have today. And it's just showing gratitude and appreciation for good service.
Well, most of us associate it with eating in a restaurant. But what other areas of life are there where tipping is an essential consideration?
Hotels. When we travel, you know, travel tipping is so important because there are so many people that we need to take in consideration. And when we plan for a trip and we get ready and we pack and we're off and we plan our budget, we oftentimes forget that we do not budget for all of the tips that we're going to need to hand out. You know, for our, we don't think about shuttle drivers, rental car shuttle drivers or airport shuttle drivers and tour guides, you know, the people that take us around town and the bellmen and the valets. I mean, it just goes on and on. And then you would say, some people might say, oh my gosh, well, that is so expensive. But if you're going, you must factor all of these things in.
I've read, Ludmilla, that there are actually over 35 different businesses where tipping is expected. Is it possible that many of us aren't tipping when we're expected to?
Absolutely. It's possible. And that's why the best way to go, especially when you're going to foreign countries, is really to check with the local establishments what is customary. It's not really unusual that you will go to certain countries and you're totally unaware, for example, that you're supposed to tip your camel driver. Yeah, in certain countries, you will go to Morocco, for example. They're wonderful and hospitable people, but they will never accept a tip in front of their employers. You have to do it discreetly. It's very much appreciated. And most of the time, yeah, they will provide even free service, but they expect the tip.
Well, there are all sorts of confusing situations, like the person who opens the door for you when you're getting out of a cab. I don't know. Do I give that person a call? I mean, he's just opening a door.
Right.
Then there's a situation where you know that the person owns the establishment. You would normally tip a haircutter, for example. But if the haircutter is also the owner of the establishment, do you tip that person?
That's a gray area because the protocol used to be that a salon owner did not get tipped. But more recently, and especially in our economic times, you know, I have personally taken a survey and asked owners, salon owners, and, you know, many of them, half of them at least, will say, I appreciate a tip. So, you know, you have to kind of err on the side of caution. It used to be that you didn't tip a salon owner or a restaurant owner, but you have to take in consideration, are they a small business? Have you had a relationship with them? Do they mention that tips are appreciated? You know, so you look at the whole picture.
And then there's that person who washes your hair, gets a separate tip?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Most of the time, we need to be concerned with people that are really not making big salaries, such as somebody who will assist you exactly washing your hair before you go to the hairstylist. So don't forget about people that are there. I will not be so much concerned with the owner of the salon, but I will be very much concerned with people that provide really incremental service in the process.
We're talking about tipping on today's Please Explain with two etiquette experts, Ludmilla Block and Diane Gotsman. And later we'll be taking your calls at 646-829-3985. Write that number down. That's a new number for us, 646-829-3985. The Zagat survey asks its surveyors in different cities what the average tip they leave is. And New Yorkers are right in the middle, 19.1%. San Francisco is the lowest, and Philadelphia is the highest, but the range between them is just one percentage point. So does that mean that there's a pretty much a consensus about how much to tip?
I think so. I think, you know, it used to be the standard was 15% and 20% for good service. And nowadays, I believe that it's moving upwards. And, you know, 20% is average, is good service and above.
In fact, a number of listeners wrote in when we asked them about how they determine their tips, and Brian said it used to be 15% a couple of years ago, went up to 20%. I guess in his head, or perhaps it was because he got a raise. And then he says 20% is easier to calculate. He said, I give a hairstylist $10. I have no idea if that is sufficient, but I haven't had any weird cuts when I come back.
It's normally about 20% of the cost of the haircut, and it is easier to calculate. It's easier just to double rather than figure out 15% or certainly nothing below 15%. You should never, ever skip a tip. Even if you get terrible service at a restaurant, you should at least leave 10%, and then very discreetly after your guests are gone, talk to the general manager.
Now, we live in a tipping society. Ludmilla, you said the rules change in different parts of the world. What happens when those people come to the United States? Does a European assume that the tip is included in the bill?
Well, that's where confusion comes in. In addition to gratuity, we also have a sales tax. And when the sales tax is included, plus we have lodging tax, when you're staying at the hotel, we have a standard gratuity, 18% in the restaurant for the parties of six guests or over. So it does create a lot of confusion. And as I told you and we discussed before, in Europe it's scheduled, it's just a little bit different. So yes, absolutely, you need to explain if you happen to be an owner of the restaurant or an establishment, that's okay to spell out the rules and explain to the guests that, for example, gratuity is not included and just the sales tax, for example, in the state of New York.
You both work with clients, individuals and corporations. Do you give advice about tipping? Diane?
Every day.
What's the most common mistake that people make, or what is the question you hear the most?
Well, I will tell you what happens. This is a common mistake. When we take a client out to dinner or to lunch, the person that invites, the rule is the person that invites pays and tips. So when someone is paying and the other person says, oh, thank you so much. Let me leave the tip. A common mistake is to let them. You always want to be in charge of your own tip because you don't know what that person is going to leave as a tip. And that's leaving, goodness forbid, they grossly under tip. That's a reflection on you. That's
now, that can work the other way too, Ludmilla, can't it? Because I have been in situations where the person who was the host so under tipped that it was embarrassing to me, and I sneaked some extra money onto the table.
I totally agree with you, Leonard, and especially in New York, in places where people do work for tip. If you're really not sure or you suspect that the tip was not sufficient, absolutely I would tip.
And I assume that people who worked for tips, like cab drivers, like waiters, are good tippers.
Yeah, absolutely, they are good tippers because they know how important it is. Don't forget that the average person that's working even in a New York hotel works for a very small salary. So the tipping for housekeeper, for bellman, for somebody who is providing a spa service, massage and facial, it's absolutely essential.
Doesn't the IRS assume that you're going to make a certain amount of money in tips if you're performing one of those services?
Yes, they do assume, and basically there is a guidance, I think, some guiding principles where they encourage you to declare your tips.
We're going to go to a little break, but Diane, is there a consensus about whether tipping actually gets you what you're looking for? Is service better when you leave a good tip since you're doing it after the fact?
I certainly think it's an incentive for a good tip. Now, it doesn't always guarantee good service.
And then there are some things where people get very confused, like the person who delivers the newspaper or the your kid's teacher.
Yes. There are so many different – and, you know, you never want to consider giving the teacher a tip. You want to gift them, you know, for a holiday, let's say. You know, the media, you would never tip the media. That would be seen as a bribe. Or, you know, doctors. Or
now you tell me that.
Oh, gosh. So you
don't tell my boss.
You have to be very careful. Because you don't want to insult someone by giving them a tip as well. You know, there's the other end of that coin.
Now, on the other hand, I always thought that an apple was enough for a teacher.
Not anymore.
We're going to take a little break, and when we come back, we will take listener calls. Our number is 646-829-9494. 3985. That's 646-829-3985. You can also leave a comment on our show page at WNYC.org, and I'll be reading a few of the things that people wrote in to our Facebook page when we mentioned that we were going to be doing this. My guests are Diane Gotsman, who's the owner of the Protocol School of Texas, a company that specializes in corporate etiquette training, and Ludmilla Block, who is a private etiquette coach with 20 years of corporate experience in America and abroad. Stay with us for more. Tipping is a topic on today's Please Explain segment, and my guests are Ludmilla Block and Diane Gotsman, who are etiquette professionals, whatever that means. But I don't think they expect a tip, although you do charge a fee. There are all of those confusing areas, and I want to get to them later, like hotel doormen and the person who delivers the pizza and things like that. But let's take some calls. Our number here again is 646-829-3985. And Joe from upstate New York, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, how are you?
Okay.
Thanks for taking my call. I guess my biggest frustration in restaurants is that the tip is the only way to really indicate that you're happy or not happy with everything. And so sometimes it could be nothing to do with the waiter. It could be, you know, your food was late and it was cold. But the waiter's the one who gets the brunt of your grief, and that's the waiter's main source of income, and it really seems unfair to me.
Now, wait, I just want to throw in that there is another side to that. The people in the kitchen show up way before the waiter ever does, stay way after the waiter goes home, and they don't get tips. And if they gave you a great meal, a waiter in a top restaurant can make a lot of money. Sometimes we read about them getting $500 tips, $1,000 tips. The person in the kitchen is cooking away for nothing.
There's things to discuss in that. And, you know, you're right, Joe. It could have nothing to do with the server, you know, the service. Let's say they're late with the food. And there is actually another way that you can show how you're feeling. You certainly would leave a tip for the server, but it may not be his or her fault that the food is late or something has gone wrong. There's a stain on the tablecloth. So you can either talk to the general manager or write a letter, or there's usually a place that asks for, you know, a questionnaire that asks how you felt about the service and the overall feeling of the meal. So utilize those, because feedback is what helps them get better. And it's in terms of, you know, the people in the back, you know, the cook, the busman, most restaurants have a way to compensate. You know, the server will kind of divvy up amongst the all of those. Now, as far as the cooks, I'm not sure exactly how that goes, but I do know that when you skip a tip, everybody gets hurt.
All right. I agree with that.
I'm sorry,
waiters. And I just think too often you get a low tip and you scratch your head because you're wondering why, and then you come to find out later it had nothing to do with you. So I agree with you. When I can, I try to point out to the manager or whomever what the problem was to make it clear. But it still seems really unfair to the waiter.
Right. Just don't make it unfair to the waiter. You know, make sure you tip them right.
However, I would like to add that basically in the restaurants, especially in New York City, the waiter does know how soon your food will be ready, because he goes to the back of the house when he places the order goes online, and he knows exactly if it's a steak, it takes a little bit longer. So he needs to inform the customer. So I a little bit disagree with the statement that it's not entirely out of his control. It is in his power to inform the customer or to let them know, you know what, souffle takes a little bit longer, and expect to wait 45 minutes before you get your dish.
And how many times have I been in a situation where we've been waiting a long time and I call the waiter over and the waiter will say, well, it's taking a little longer, it'll be out in any moment. If that waiter had simply come to me and said to me, you know, there's this dish is taking a long time or whatever, of course I would feel a lot better about waiting.
Absolutely. And that's really the excellence that you expect in service when you're going to the restaurant.
Let's take another call. Andrea from Pleasantville, hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you for taking my call. I've been a nurse for many years and, you know, take care of my fellow human being and not ever expect a tip at all. But I often find that tipping is a little out of control when you have to tip for every service rendered, whereas in a lot of the professions, you would never even think of a tip being given to you.
Do you want to respond?
You know, I'll jump in. Can you tell me specifically, do you have something in mind that you're thinking of when you say all of these different services, like what, for example?
Well, okay, example, I tip the men that pick up my garbage at Christmas at my house, and I'm more than happy to do that.
Right.
And I feel if I don't tip them that I might not get the service I should get.
Right.
And
well,
I feel that that's not, you know what you know what I'm saying is that when you're,
sure.
you're just out
they should
and
pick
about
up the garbage
doing,
no matter what, right?
You don't want to feel pressured, in other words, you know, to have to tip someone for doing what they should be doing to begin with, right? So, and you know, if you want to bake them some cookies or if you want to tip them, if you want to do that, then that's what you should do. But, you know, we all have to look at our budgets and decide what is possible and what is not. And, you know, there are some, especially nowadays, there are some people that will not get a tip that might have gotten a tip in the past. You know, if your paper boy delivers your paper late or not at all, you know, consistently, I say he doesn't deserve a tip. You know, just because he does it and does it sporadically doesn't mean he gets a tip.
My guess,
use your good judgment.
Although any number of the people who wrote into us point out that they leave a tip no matter what, they just leave a smaller tip. Bad service, it seems, gets 15%, decent service 18%, 20% for better than average service.
Well, it's absolutely correct. The average tip that we leave, especially in this country, it's 15 to 20%. When you go to Europe or you go to Middle East, it's about 10, 15%. However, there are certain areas that are absolutely exceptional. For example, in Iceland, you will tip a little bit above 15%. In United Emirates, it's expected 20%. And certain countries where the tourism is really developed and quite expensive, you go to Russia, yes, it is expensive, but you have to tip at least 20 to 25%.
In Germany, on the other hand.
In Germany as well.
But the waiters are paid better than they are in this country, for example, and so a tip isn't always as expected to be as high. One listener, Nata, says, who works in the service industry, said that everyone should work at least once in their lifetime for tips. It gives a whole new perspective. I work in the catering industry where we do get tips, and I, too, like to err on the side of generosity. I find most people who've worked for tips feel the same way. My guests are Ludmilla Block and Diane Gotsman. We are talking about tipping on today's Please Explain and taking your calls at 646-8. Well, I've forgotten the number. This is a brand new number that we have, and I have to memorize it. It's 646-829-3985. And we've been also getting messages on our comment line. Rogers wanted to thank you, Diane, for mentioning rental car drivers. He said he worked for Enterprise Rent-A-Car for a year and a half, having probably driven around over 400 people during that time, only received two tips.
Well, we don't think about it. I think that they're not doing it on purpose. I just think that that's one of those areas that we just don't really think about, unfortunately.
Yeah. I agree with Diane. It's a level of awareness. If we could possibly think of the people that are helping us out while we're traveling, while we're going to places, absolutely we will include the person who is helping us with our car rental.
Now, Dorian from Manhattan said he said that in Japan, where he lived, in some places a tip was considered offensive.
Yes, it's true. In Japan, is the general rule of the land is the tip is not required. And if you do offer any tipping for exceptional service, you should do it discreetly, such as putting a thank you note in the envelope and include your tip. And as always, do it in such a way so it's not in front of other people.
Julia asks, what's the custom for wedding vendors like florists, photographers, and caterers? Does everybody get a tip, Diane?
That's a whole different bear because yes, almost everybody gets a tip, unfortunately or fortunately, depending on how you look at it. But you know, there's oftentimes, let's say the limo driver, you know, their gratuity might be included in the fee. So you have to look at that and make sure that you're not double tipping. That said, if they do an exceptional job and if they have just gone above and beyond the call of duty, there's nothing wrong with giving them, you know, a little bit more.
Go ahead. But I feel also, Diane, it's really important when we're celebrating or there is a special occasion, you want to make sure that everybody else is happy. So
absolutely.
I think, you know, just kind of go on a generous side and make sure that everybody is included.
Carlos, go ahead.
Okay, I just like to say, I agree with you, and I say if you're having to think about tipping, round up rather than round down.
Yes,
you know, always
most definitely.
Err on the side of caution.
Well, they used to say double the tax in New York, but Michael in it's Carlos. Are you supposed to tip on the pre- or post-tax amount?
Go ahead, Ludmilla.
Yeah, thank you. In New York, yes, it's true. It used to be the rule that just double sales tax. And it actually comes to about 20%. So it is a common rule. However, you should always decide for yourself, depending what is your budget, how much you would like to leave, and just to make sure that you are not under-tipping.
Right.
Let's go to another call. Linda from New Rochelle. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thank you. I just want to, first of all, say two successes. Last night I was in a restaurant and I ordered fish. And immediately the waiter said, that'll be 20 minutes. So I knew the expectation and I was happy to tip because she was so communicative.
Right.
And the other thing is about nurses. My sister is a nurse and she has taught me, while you don't tip nurses, especially if you're in the hospital, it's important for the family members to maybe take her some flowers, him or her, coffee, just
yes,
a little something, and it makes such a difference.
But it brightens their day.
Yes,
go ahead.
Absolutely, because they work so hard. But my question becomes, it used to be that we tipped when we went to sit-down restaurants. And now where so much is counter service, why is there an expectation for a tip at a counter service restaurant, especially for my favorite coffee, Dunkin' Donuts, and even Starbucks? I mean,
tip jar is a bone of contention because, you know, people tend to be offended when people put out that tip jar at a counter. And, you know, I want you to think of that as a discretionary tip. You
Absolutely.
Know, don't let it pressure you. But if you have some extra change, throw it in. If they give you an extra special smile and remember your name, I'm going to throw something in if they know my name. So, you know, it's discretionary again.
Now, what happens if you got really bad service or you had a cab ride from hell? And I've had a few of those. Do you still have to tip a bad service?
You should leave something. And I will tell you, unfortunately, on the other side of this is that oftentimes the cab driver will tell you that it's not enough money. I don't know if that's ever happened to anybody listening, but, you know, I have heard where they will say, this is it. So, you know, that's training as well. You know, we're going to use good judgment and grace in every situation. But, you should tip something, Leonard, maybe not as much as you would if it was a great cab ride. And, again, it's
should
not their
you
fault
tell
that
the person? Should you say, you know, I would have given you a better tip, but you ignored my instructions?
You could, but do you really want to get in a spitting match with them? You know, you just, it depends on your own blood.
But they should also know, shouldn't they, Ludmilla?
I totally agree with Leonard. I think if you didn't receive a good service, you can be very nice about it, but you can nicely put it in a nice way. You know what? I was a little disappointed that my trip normally takes 20 minutes, and right now I'm late, and it took me 45 minutes.
Because you took the stupid route.
Well, you have taken the route that
is
probably...
Or you spilled the coffee on me, and you didn't even say I'm sorry.
I agree with Diane. We try to do and leave the tip as much as possible, but in a nice way, we can always kind of express our discontent.
We go right. now.
And that's the operative word, in a nice way.
Right.
Well, of course, we always want to be nice. I'm trying to put a caller on here. John from Paramus, New Jersey. Hi, you're on the air. John, are you there? Well, okay, John. I'm sure that what you, yeah, you got to talk now, John. We're running out of time.
All right, I've been in on the Z for many years, and
okay, well, John, we lost your call. Mark from Teaneck, you get to say the final word.
Hi. One of the questions I had was that when someone's in a foreign country where the economic circumstances are so disparate, how does one figure out how much to tip? My specific question was tipping a rickshaw driver in India. The money seems sort of like monopoly money. How do you figure out what is, in fact, the accurate or proper tip for someone like that?
There are rules, however, even if you go to India and you have a driver and you're not sure, always make sure that you leave a tip in cash. Across the board, you will never go wrong if you give 10%.
Now, just one more thing. Frank in Manhattan says that tipping allows employers to avoid paying a fair wage to service personnel, particularly where undocumented employees are involved. Restaurateurs know that they can pay minimum wage or less because patrons will pick up the slack. Is that does that perpetuate an unfair situation?
Well, I do not agree with that completely. I believe that the tipping and gratitude is connected to the level of service that you receive. And this is an incentive. It's a motivation for people to do the absolutely outstanding service and exceptional job. So I think in that sense, it really supports the notion that we should be generous and we should tip appropriately, especially when we receive great service.
Right.
You agree, Diane?
I agree.
And I thank you so much, both of you, for being on our show today. On today's Please Explain, Diane Gotsman is a nationally recognized etiquette professional and the owner of the Protocol School of Texas, which is a company that specializes in corporate etiquette training. And Ludmilla Block is a business etiquette expert here in New York and a private etiquette coach with over 20 years of corporate experience in America and abroad.
Thank you.
Thank you.